Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.
Well, Kieran Walsh has built a successful business in the beauty industry, both in terms of new product development and through distribution. A key factor in the national beauty distribution success has been its ability to partner with celebrities to promote its product lines. And Kieran joins us now to reveal how he develops these relationships. Kieran, tell us about national beauty distribution and the growth which the business has achieved to date.
Carl, thanks for having me. So I started the business back in 2011. I was a contestant on the TV show The Apprentice. I guess one thing led to another. I ended up selling teeth whitening strips, selling nail polish, and then nail polish led me into salons, gave me a route into hair care. I was very early doors in finding Kevin Murphy in 2014. And I think at that time, influencer marketing was becoming a thing. And I'm sure we'll touch on that a bit more today with the people I work with now. But we used influencer to propel Kevin Murphy into general eyesight. And one thing has led to another. We've added brand after brand, including brands from we look after for Estee Lauder now, for Unilever. And we have about 50% of our revenue comes from own brand. Business now has grown to about 75 people. Our headquarters are down in Blarney in Cork. We have a small office in Portugal. And we have someone based in the UK also to do with our UK interests. So we've grown quite a lot. We're forecasting this year circa 25 million revenue.
So back in 2017, you started a process to develop the Luna product range. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so Lisa Jordan is a pretty well-known influencer here in Ireland. Lisa and I actually went to school together back in junior cert, leaving cert and so on. So we stayed friendly. And around 2014, I think, Lisa was getting married. At the time, I said to her, I feel like this influencer thing is going to kick off. I think there'll be interest in your dresses and so on. And she then, one thing that's whatever, she then kicked on and became a very credible influencer in Ireland. Around 2016, we were seeing influencers and celebrities in other countries launching brand around their brand, which was a totally new concept. So Lisa said, listen, what do you think about maybe doing something in the makeup space? Because she was a makeup artist originally. So I said, look, I love it. I went and did some research in terms of who were the contract manufacturers for this type of thing. We started working on a concept, a brand name and so on together. And I remember we were already after visiting a couple of factories in the UK to work on these lip glosses we said we'd start with. And on the flight back, we came up with the name Luna. And that's how we started the brand. And the brand has kicked on since. The brand now does several million a year in terms of revenue. Big retailers, Macaulay's, gun stores, you name it. We're listed in, I think, over 1,000 doors across the country now with Luna.
And 2018 then saw you enter the fake tan space. That fake tan market is particularly crowded. So what challenges did you face with Bayer and how did you overcome them?
Bayer was its own journey. So in 2016, 2017, I started thinking about the idea of tan. More credit to her, Marissa Carter had done a great job in putting tan and Ireland on the map, I think, albeit she was doing it at a lower price point. I felt that aligned with all the other brands in my portfolio, it would make sense for me to work on a premium tan. So at the time, Bellamy Anta and Suzanne Jackson coming in with Dripping Gold were two of the real strong brands in the marketplace. And then you had Vita Labrada and some of the foreign brands in like your Bondi Sands and Isle of Paradise and so on. So I started working on this tan formulation with a contract manufacturer here in Ireland. We were testing for 12 months in terms of developing this formulation. And we didn't really have anyone attached to it. We were thinking initially of, okay, let's do this ourselves and maybe let's do it with an Irish celebrity. And we were playing with different ideas. And then one Sunday night, I was scrolling through Instagram and Vogue popped up and we kind of half knew each other from events and so on. I had her number on my phone and I dropped her a message. And I said, listen, I know this is a random one, but did you ever think about doing a tan? And she rang me straight away and she says, this is so weird. I was about to sign a deal with another brand tomorrow as a brand ambassador. And I said, don't sign anything. I'm coming over and let's have a chat on Tuesday. So flew in on Tuesday. We hammered out a deal and what the whole thing would look like. And one thing led to the next one. We've ended up with a brand together.
That's brilliant. So talk to me about how having Vogue Williams attached to that Bayer brand actually acted as rocket fuel for it.
Yeah, and that's changed a lot because Vogue's profile, I guess, has changed a lot throughout the 5 or 6 years now we're working together. At the time, I suppose we liked Vogue from her Irish presence and with respect to her as a model, you know, and as a face of the brand, physical face of the brand. I think, you know, her own positioning has changed dramatically in the last 5 years. You know, the rise of her podcast, you know, her own profile in the UK, the stuff she does on TV. So she's gone from being like, you know, an influencer model to now being a full-blown celebrity. And I think that's elevated our brand also. I think it's given us a bit more credibility at the price point we exist, for sure. And she brings in great eyeballs, you know, like that buyer that has, you know, disposable income to send on product like this and to trial something new. The particularly complicated thing about tan is, as opposed to hair care or maybe makeup, you're very slow to change brand when it already works for you. I mean, if you're standing in the bathroom on a Thursday night after the shower, you want to be tanned on Friday. Are you going to take a chance on something you don't know that works, or are you going to take the thing you know does work? So trying to get people to trust us in that first instance was difficult, and it was not the overnight success I wanted to think it would be, or that I thought, you know, and it played out very much differently. So it took us several years to get to where we needed to get to.
And from your own experience, Kieran, what do you look for when you're partnering with a celebrity to promote a product?
If I can pick a word, I think stability. I think it's, you know, when you look at someone as attaching them to a brand, you are very much putting yourself at risk of whatever they do or say. So, you know, attaching yourself to the wrong person who may get caught up in something negative online, it can have a detrimental effect to the brand that you're carrying and manufacturing. And ultimately, you know, it's I'm on the hook for the stock, and I'm on the hook for everything we've committed to, and the staff and so on. So that stability is a very important thing. And with Vogue, you know, we're very close. We talk all the time in terms of, like, you know, what she's got going on next and what's going to change in terms of her perception publicly. And that's a great relationship to have. I think you're looking for that open communication. I've had conversations with other celebrities about another brand we're going to be launching soon, and I'm hesitant to get into a relationship with someone I don't know very well, because I feel that, you know, you're having this entire different piece to manage in a business, as opposed to your own staff and your own brand. You're now managing this uncontrollable entity who is not on my payroll, and I can't tell it to do anything. That is a complicated thing. So these brand attachments are a very nuanced business. I admire people like Ken Austin and so on, who have done it with the likes of Conor McGregor and The Rock, you know, with their drinks businesses. So it's not easy.
Some interesting developments out of the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas this week. I saw one of them was an app that will actually do an assessment of your own face and then provide you with advice and consultancy in relation to that, almost having a skincare consultant at the other end of the app. What are your thoughts on things like that going forward?
I think they're great for the marketplace. I think, you know, the more that consumers think about their well-being, wellness, how they look, all those things are good for business. So I welcome things like that. I think it's who will crack first, linking that to product and selling that consumer, completing that full 360 and that end-to-end piece will be the real winner. We use machines like that ourselves. We have a skincare division in our business where we sell a brand called ASAP skin products from Australia, and our girls use these skin scanner machines to essentially give the consumer the experience of, hey, here's where your sun damage is under a different light that you don't normally see in a mirror. And it's a real compelling thing.
And of course, National Beauty Distribution recently created a presence in Portugal. What attracted you into the Portuguese market, Kieran?
I guess for me, I look at the UK as the, I don't want to call it the end goal, but it's certainly a big part of the next step for a business like us. It's the most natural, you know, next big market. You know, it's our native language, and it's our neighbor next door. It's a huge market, 70 plus million people. You know, they spend like we do. They have similar tastes and interests to what we have. I'm very conscious that there's a lot of guys have gone before me in the UK and have failed, and it's just purely down to the scale of the place. You know, it's an enormous market. Although I'm getting better, I'm a bit, I'm in the weeds on everything. And I felt that to try and launch something remotely in the UK, I would probably have to go there myself and be in the market, and then that my business here was going to suffer. And ultimately, the business here is working very well. So I said, if I can do something remotely in a smaller market whereby, I mean, frankly, if it failed, no one was really watching, I felt that something like a Portugal might work. And it was by complete coincidence, I ended up having conversations with K18 and 11 Australia, which are two great brands we distribute here, and both of those were struggling in the Portuguese market. And I said, listen, if I head down there, would you guys give me a chance? And they said, look, we know you, we trust you. We know you're going to sell the product in the right place, then have at it. We headed down, we hired initially one person, then a second, now we've hired a third. So I'll head down in a few weeks and work with them on their strategy for the next 6 months. It's a slog down there. The business is starting to wash its face, but it is they're very different to us down there. Makes me appreciate how hard Irish people work, I guess, when I head down there.
And Kieran, ultimately, what's the goal for the business over the next 3 to 5 years?
We just bought the building next door to us, actually, and my purpose of that was to put in a fully automated warehouse. I want to take our business to being of the quality and caliber of a world-class 3PL within our industry. And ultimately, I would love to be able to go to brands who are in Ireland right now but maybe struggling with their marketplace, or maybe National Beauty is winning their market share, and go to them and say, hey, listen, we can manage all your supply chain. You know, you're doing it out of the UK right now. That's not working. We can do it from here. But we also understand sales, education. We know the market. We know the customers. And to ultimately try and roll as much of the industry under one roof as I possibly can.
Well, if you've just tuned in, that was Kieran Walsh from National Beauty Distribution. And we wish Kieran and the team every continued success with achieving their goals.
Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.